In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear reverend sisters, dear faithful, if you are here today, it's because you belong to the countercultural movement called traditional Catholicism. You made a conscious choice to be here, often traveling past your local parish to come to traditional Mass and sacraments, because it's precisely this Mass and these sacraments that will give you what you need to attain your goal in this life, which is the salvation of your soul. You are aware that there is a crisis in the Church and that there's been a certain spirit of heterodoxy that has entered the Church, and there's all kinds of liturgical aberrations. And many have left the Church, and many have lost the faith because of it. You're also aware that the world is not in good shape. The world is very godless. The world is practicing all manner of immorality, and the culture of the world, rather than supporting the faith as it should, the dominant culture today works against your faith. And so you come to St. Isidore's. You trust that by being a traditional Catholic and living your life as a traditional Catholic, you will be able to save your soul. But the thing is, you come here, you participate in this beautiful Mass, you receive these traditional sacraments, but then you have this great challenge that you go back out into that world, that world that has always been contrary to Christ, to our Lord Jesus Christ, especially today is contrary to our Lord. And you have this great challenge. How do I maintain my faith and live my faith strongly in a world that is completely godless? How do I accomplish that? The mysterious parable today, our Lord's parable, which seems a little confusing by the advice that he gives, is effectively saying this to us. It's saying to us, look at the people of the world and how clever they are in achieving their natural goals. They set for themselves certain natural ends, natural goals, and they really think about it, and they're very savvy in doing what's needed in order to attain those goals. Well, you need to do the same thing. You need to be as clever as they are, only you need to have that same cleverness in attaining your supernatural goal. You need to reflect about what you need to do to attain heaven as it stands in this world, and especially to take your material resources, the material resources that God has given to you, and which you're a steward of, and which ultimately belong to God, because everything belongs to God. You need to take those material resources and so use them that you can get yourself and your family members to heaven. You need to have that savvy. But as I say, you have this fact against you that the whole world, in a sense, is going the other direction. We know that the world has always been evil. When in the time of our Lord, the apostles themselves were encouraging the people of their time not to be conformed to this world. You know that our Lord says that the devil is the prince of this world. There are various quotations that shouldn't surprise us in the New Testament because of the fact that the first Catholics were living in a pagan Roman world. And we can take these words as being addressed to us as well, because we live in this postmodern, repaganized world where Christendom has gone away and a new paganism has been adopted. It was just, in a sense, even worse, because it's a paganism of apostasy as opposed to a paganism that is not aware of Christ. So St. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is of God. The spirit of the world and the spirit of God are contrary to one another. They're incompatible." St. John, in his first epistle, he says, "Love not the world, nor the things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the charity of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh, and the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but is of the world." And St. John here, he describes for us what we call the spirit of the world. What is the spirit of the world? Well, it's certainly a very pleasure-loving spirit. You think about all the things that are permitted today under the name of pleasure. So many things, such as basic human dignity, are subordinated to pleasure. Certainly, the practice of virtue is subordinated to pleasure. People kill their own children for the purpose of in abortion for the end of pleasure. They manufacture children in petri dishes with IVF and discard some and choose others for the purposes of pleasure. They flaunt all kinds of sexual immorality as being perfectly legitimate because pleasure must rule. If you have an impulse towards a certain thing that you believe will give you pleasure, then you have a right to do it. And everybody else must acknowledge you as having that right, must tolerate you, must approve you in pursuing this particular pleasure, no matter how deviant it is. This is the spirit of the world. It's a spirit of, I get to do what I want, whenever I want, and you have to approve it. Do whatever thou wilt. And if someone is against me, then I must fight them. And that includes God himself. It's a spirit of rebellion against the laws of God, the nature that God has established for us. And it's this spirit of total license, where you follow any impulse that you may have. And this spirit of rebelliousness, this spirit of sensuality, of seeking of pleasure, is incarnated in what we call pop culture. This is the dominant culture today. It's incarnated in the music, in the nature of the music, the lyrics of the music. It's incarnated in the entertainment, the lifestyles that are portrayed on the Netflix series or the movies or what have you. It's incarnated in the dress, where the spirit of the dress today is, if you have it, flaunt it. If your clothing is uncomfortable for you, well, then you put on other clothing that is comfortable. Even if the clothing is indecent or just trashy. So we kind of bathe today in an environment of trashy music, trashy entertainment, trashy dress that reflects this spirit of total license that has always been the spirit of the world, but today has found a new means for publicizing itself. And of course, that new means is technology. So the spirit of the world has found in technology a powerful ally to really inculcate its spirit into the least reaches of the globe. I recently heard about, you know, people in the Amazonian forest getting cell phones, you know, and just binging on the very corrupt, trashy entertainment of the Western world. So we ourselves have to recognize that we are afflicted with fallen human nature. We have, you know, the stains of original sin. We're descendants of Adam and Eve. And all these things appeal to our lower nature. We are tempted by them. We are drawn to them. And they have developed very powerful means to attract us to do these things. And so there is this great battle on our hands where we know intellectually that we must swim upstream. We must go against the stream of the popular culture and keep our Catholic identity in a world that is very godless. So the savvy traditional Catholic who follows the advice of our Lord to be as wise as a serpent and simple as a dove, the savvy traditional Catholic looks at the material resources that he has, and he says to himself, what is the best way for me to use these material resources in such a way that I achieve my end in this life, which is the salvation of my soul? I must carefully curate these resources that I have and use them in such a way that I achieve my goal just as prudently as those with worldly prudence who are looking for fame, glory, and pleasure in this world. as they see, it's difficult. We all know stories of youth who, unfortunately, after growing up in a traditional Catholic family, when they come of age and they go out into the world, they are not strong enough to hold on to the faith. They end up abandoning the faith. They find the pressure of the world too great, and that power of attraction ends up hooking them in and snaring them. And we hear these sad stories about, oh, you know, such and such a person, they don't know what they believe anymore. They were seen at a pro-abortion rally the other day or whatever. We also know stories of families, and thankfully there are many, many such stories, of families whose children grow up and they're very successful in keeping the faith. It's so edifying to see these children when they go out on their own and they're adults now, they go out into the big bad world and they stand their ground. Somehow they're so strong in the faith that not only do they not buckle under the pressure of the world, but they are, in a sense, a light to the world. They set a strong example of the practice of the Catholic faith in this world. What a great accomplishment on the part of those parents. Those families somehow were very savvy. Even in this 21st century world, they accomplished that. They were able to anticipate what their children would need, what they needed to give them. They harnessed their resources, and they accomplished this great feat. You're probably familiar with some of the strategies that traditional Catholic families, often employ to do this, to achieve their end. A lot of them carefully choose where they live. They like, for instance, neighborhoods that have big lots, or they choose to buy some land. So because they have a lot of children and they want their children to have contact with reality, have place to have healthy activities, not be shut up in the house all the time. There's less of an influence of the world if they have more property. Obviously, they often choose to live near a priory. So they have frequent access to the Mass and sacraments. They put their children in a traditional Catholic school. They actually eat together. They have meals together. They share their meals, and they talk to one another. And they have meals where there's no technological devices there. So they interact. So they're able to interact, and that tightens their bonds that they have with one another. It's so important. They're very careful in the way that they dress. They don't sacrifice their human dignity for the current pop culture where they just dress down because everybody else is dressing down, but they understand their dignity as a child of God, and they sacrifice comfort for that dignity. They dress like a Catholic. They're very careful about the music that they listen to. If the music is trashy, if it's not intrinsically not good music by the way in which the music is composed, its musical apparatus, then they reject it. They keep it out of their home, even if they grew up with that music, and rather they play for themselves music that is noble and good. They're very careful about the movies that they watch or the entertainment that they take in, making sure that the entertainment is going to foster virtue. It's edifying entertainment. It's not entertainment that's going to corrupt themselves and their children. And they're very, very careful, especially about the technology that they allow into their home and how their children use the technology with when do we allow our child to have a phone? What type of phone do we allow them to have? What kind of internet access do we have in our home? You know, a lot of families, they will just have a computer that's in a common space in the home, and only the parents will have the password. Making sure that whenever the children use the computer, they are the ones who put in the password, making sure that they know exactly what their children are using the internet for at all times. And this is just absolutely necessary today. And of course, these families that are successful, they pray together. They pray together as a family. They kneel down together as a family before our Lord, before Our Lady, and say their morning prayers, they say their rosary, they say their night prayers. And they especially, in all these things, what are they trying to do? They they are trying to create in their home a Catholic atmosphere, a Catholic ethos. And they know if they are able to do that, if they're able to inculcate this Catholic ethos into their children, they will make their children so Catholic that their children, the last thing they would want to think about is leaving the faith. This is the thing that has to be done. Beyond coming here on Sunday, when you go out and you leave and you go back out into that world, you have to be savvy enough to know how to create a Catholic ethos in your home, a Catholic atmosphere in your home. That is the main thing that I'm trying to emphasize in this sermon. The culture that's out there is incompatible with your faith. It's inimical to your goals, the goals that bring you here to St. Isidore's. And so you have to reflect and think about, how am I going to deal with that situation? And the main way you deal with that situation is to create a Catholic atmosphere in your home. And I think it would be interesting to talk to some of these families who have been successful. I especially encourage the younger families. If you know families who have children, who have grown up, who have kept the faith, who are still strong Catholics, just to go to those parents and just ask them out of curiosity, what did you do? What's the secret of your success? What were the practices in your home to get some good ideas? In a few moments, I will pray the secret of this Mass, one of the propers, the secret prayer of this Mass. And it kind of encapsulates what I'm saying in this sermon, in this prayer to God. It says, "Accept, we beseech you, O Lord, the gifts which we bring to you out of your own bounty, so that these most holy sacramental rites, these holy traditional rites that you have chosen, that you've chosen to be present at, may, by the power of your grace, sanctify us in the conduct of our present life, that these rites may sanctify you, that in the conduct of your life out there in the world, you may be holy, you may live as a Catholic, regardless of what the culture is. And lead us to everlasting joy, bring you to heaven, so that you attain the goal that you've set for yourself in this life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen."